This is the Hockey News Podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's the Hockey News Podcast. I'm Matt Larkin. I have Ken Campbell with me, my usual partner in crime. To the left of me today, though, is the big boss man, Edward Fraser, is here in Ryan Kennedy's stead. And we're here to talk about the trade deadline. You know, it's something some people like to make fun of the Canadian media. We get too excited over it. But you know what? I just say it's fun. Is it going to be overblown? Is it going to be overhyped? You know what? Who cares? It's still fun. It's still hockey. So let's enjoy it. And we have a couple of big trades that have already happened. First off, the head scratcher on Sunday, Ben Bishop to the LA Kings. Can somebody explain to me what's going on here, how this possibly works?
So you're making an editorial comment here by saying it's a head scratcher, right?
Yeah.
Just like, let me open my Diet Coke. Ooh, yes.
Wow.
Elixir of the gods.
Wow.
It's so refreshing and tasty.
Aspartame.
And no calories. Just a second.
That's Coke Zero, by the way.
Are you looking for?
There's no calories in Diet Coke either.
Are you guys looking to get them to ship you a free case or something?
No,
we're not sponsored.
No,
in
we're
any
trying
way
to
buy this product. I will not.
I know we're trying to get a sponsorship deal going.
Yeah,
so
I might aim a little higher. You know, I'm
then,
gonna
then Coke. Yeah, I guess okay. You wouldn't want to aim higher than.
No,
I guess you'd kind of want to aim higher than Coke because we don't know if they're going to be around next year because they're such a fly by night operation.
We need more equity.
I would say as I look out this window onto this beautiful street and see a Mercedes-Benz driving by.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I mean about aiming a little higher.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I gotcha. Okay.
We're getting freebies then. Anyways.
I'm not looking for freebies. I'm looking for the Hockey News
coffers.
Speaking of freebies.
Nice segue.
It seems like the LA Kings got a freebie in Ben Bishop. Because I don't understand how they got so little for him in return.
Right. So who's you're scratching your head over what Tampa, over the Tampa side of it, not the LA side.
No, I'm scratching my head over the LA side of it.
I'm scratching my head over both sides of it because LA, the last thing they needed with Jonathan Quick healthy was another number one goalie.
Anytime you've got a groin injury, you're not considered healthy.
Okay, well, okay. And so maybe they know a bunch of stuff we don't know. It's possible, I guess, that maybe they know a few things we don't know. But to me, if you're going to supplement your roster, maybe get a guy who can score. Maybe get some scoring depth. And to me, it indicates that the LA Kings are going all in on what's won them cups before, and that's defense and goaltending. And it's going to be really boring to watch, and it's going to be, you know, fairly turgid. And as the playoffs roll on, if this team continue, first of all, if this team makes the playoffs, and secondly, if this team, you know, gets through a couple of rounds, it's going to be a bit of a grind to watch these guys play.
I am similarly perplexed for both sides, and for the reason exactly what you said. If you're LA and you're going to use up what cap space you have, maybe you add some scoring, because that's your problem.
Right.
This is a team that's adding a second elite goaltender. I think we can still agree that Ben Bishop is an elite goaltender one season removed, though his numbers haven't been as good as they're 1 year removed from being a finalist for the Vezina Trophy. But this is a team, and correct me if I'm wrong, that's not even in the playoff picture right now.
They're just out.
But don't you need to get in?
Well, they're,
to
close.
Make
they're
noise?
Close. They're
okay,
close.
Okay, but so are you confident with the team that you have in front of you that doesn't seem to be able to score, that doesn't seem to be able to play the game that is successful in winning Stanley Cups
right,
now.
Right. Well,
so what,
I mean, they played it. They played it and they won too. So they, you know, they have the template for winning Stanley Cups.
The game has changed. The game has changed since they won their Stanley Cup.
Exactly.
And they're not adapting.
But it wasn't that long ago that everybody was looking for all these guys that are Los Angeles King type of guys that could dominate in the offensive zone, keep the puck.
Cycle,
you know,
big plot.
The only thing I can see from LA's point of view is that they figure, okay, well, you know, I mean, we are what we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to put a lot of, we're not going to score a lot of goals. It's just, we're just not. Okay, so therefore, we're going to put a lot of stress on our goaltending. And so when you're putting that kind of stress on your goaltending, you think you need two guys, either one you can turn to when you're down 3-1 in a series and go, okay, you got to carry the mail now and you got to win three straight games, 1-0 or 2-1 in double overtime.
Well, once again, correct me if I'm wrong, But you can only play one goalie at once, right?
That's
you can
right.
only put one on the ice at once.
Right.
So having two elite goaltenders does you no good.
I think I just explained it.
I disagree. I disagree, and that's exactly what Ed's saying. That's why it does not add up, and I predict that this podcast is going to be dated very fast.
Oh, man.
Because I
are
predict... Hang
your,
on. Let
yeah,
me
okay,
let me get
go.
It out there,
here
Kenny boy, okay?
Yeah. Okay?
The LA Kings are going to announce, I predict, that Jonathan Quick has re-aggravated the groin injury. It doesn't make sense that you're going to give up assets, a prospect, even if it's not a high-ranked prospect, to get a goaltender that A is going to play only half the time, B when the playoffs start, if all is working correctly, Jonathan Quick's your starter. He's your Conn Smythe winner, two Stanley Cup champions, known for being better in the playoffs than the regular season. Quick, if healthy, is playing every single game in the playoffs. I don't think you fire that bullet, your prospects, your picks for an insurance policy. It doesn't add up to me. And Jonathan Quick, no goalie in the NHL relies more on athleticism, acrobatics. He's one of the smallest starting goalies. He's a guy who easily could re-aggravate that groin injury, and I predict that it's happened. So we'll see.
Wouldn't surprise me whatsoever. But
after one game. He's only played one game.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Come back for one game and already, oh, it's too fast. I came back too soon.
Yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me whatsoever. But I just don't think... I don't think Ben Bishop has the playoff stealing abilities that Jonathan Quick does. I don't think the LA Kings with Ben Bishop in net are a cup threat. So if Jonathan Quick has gone down, and you know, maybe he has, maybe he hasn't, is really just truly speculation on our part. Why even bother acquiring goaltending? Now, you didn't give a lot up. You know, Cernak is the ninth rated prospect on the LA Kings, according to our recent released.
And their prospect list is not great.
That's true,
yeah.
So, I mean, I'm looking down Matt Larkin's trade bait list right now at THN.com, and I get down to number 20, and I see Brian Boyle. And I see there's a guy who fits the LA mold. There's a guy who can win you.
He was an LA King. He actually was an LA King.
Are we playing?
Was he a king?
Was he a king? No, well, he was a Ranger too, but he started his career.
Of course he was.
He started his career with the Los Angeles Kings.
Anyway, I'm just perplexed for this deal, and quite frankly, I'm perplexed on the other side that Steve Yzerman couldn't get more. You know, there's very good chance that out of this trade, they get absolutely nothing in return.
Well,
that cap space they would have had this
summer. The market for goaltending at this time of the year is not great. I think, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, I mean, Steve Yzerman's one of the smartest GMs in the league. And if this was the best deal he could get for Ben Bishop, and he's had all these months to work on it, then this was probably the best deal he was going to get for Ben Bishop.
Not questioning Yzerman whatsoever. I'm surprised that the market isn't hotter for a guy who, you know, again, while his numbers haven't been as strong this year, a guy who's a year removed from being a finalist for the Vezina Trophy.
Right.
I can't believe that there isn't 10 teams out there that wouldn't have paid
and
more.
And a year removed from going to the Stanley Cup final with his own team.
And
was it 2 years ago?
Conference final last year, cup final the year before.
That's what I mean. So it's a year removed.
And a guy who comes off your books if it doesn't work out. You're not tied to him.
Right.
Seems like the perfect situation to me. And I'm, I don't understand why Dallas didn't make this move. I guess they've given up at this point. If you're trading Patrick Eaves,
Stars
too far out of it.
They've absolutely given up.
And I think that's what happened to Yzerman. I think a month ago, the Stars were the suitor, and they were hoping to make that move, but the Stars have fallen so far out of it, they can't take on a UFA. They can sign Ben Bishop in the summer, which I think they should find a way. They should trade an Antti Niemi or Carey Lehtinen to an Arizona, a team that can afford to eat some cap space, free up some money, boom, sign Bishop, and then all of a sudden maybe they're good next year again. But I think that's what happened. I predict
Throwing in the towel.
Yeah. Another big trade that happened... to me, he's the rich man's Brian Boyle, another big, strong third-line center. Martin Hanzel goes to the Minnesota Wild. Some people wondering, did the Wild give up too much? You got a first-rounder, a conditional pick that I believe becomes a second-rounder. Personally, I love the trade for Minnesota because they have a very stacked farm system. You've got Jordan Greenway, Luke Cunningham, Kirill Kaprizov, Joel Eriksson. It goes on and on. You can afford to spare those assets and your first-place team. You have Eric Staal, Zach Parise, Ryan Suter, guys who are getting a little long in the tooth. Go for it. I personally love the trade. What do you guys think?
Well, I think they did give up an awful lot for him. But for the reasons, some of the reasons you said, that's okay. When you have the assets, you can afford to overpay. And they were clearly prepared to overpay. And I think what it does is it tells that fan base and the guys in that dressing room, look, we're in it to win it, guys. You know, I mean, we have got a team here that can do something special. And you know, I mean, they've made a bold statement with what they've done. And Martin Hanzel is Like, who else would you want in the playoffs? Like, a big guy who can be your second-line centerman, play those tough minutes, play hard, you know, play in the hard games, play in, you know, I mean, to me, that's a great acquisition. That's a great acquisition for Minnesota. And as you said, I mean, they've got four prospects right now that are considered blue-chip prospects. So, and they didn't have to take anybody off their roster or give up any other blue-chip prospects. They basically just gave up futures, you know, some of which might turn out to be players, some of which might not.
Mm-hmm. And remember, you're basically just giving up essentially a glorified second-round pick, because Minnesota's, it's going to be, what, you know, 27?
Yeah, it'll be at worst. Low in the first round. Yeah.
So it's really, you're not giving up a lottery pick by any means.
And in a weak draft class.
In a weak draft class.
Yeah, so. I'm not going for that weak draft class stuff. I'm not going for it. I don't buy it. You're going to find players. There's going to be players. Every draft's the same. We talk about how these drafts are good and how they aren't and everything. And I mean, some of them, you know, obviously stand out greater or worse than others. But generally speaking, you're going to find 10 guys in the first round that are going to have really good careers, 10 guys who are going to have decent careers, 10 guys who aren't going to play. Probably there's going to be a guy in the fourth round who's going to be in the Hall of Fame, who's getting picked in the fourth round, who's going to end up in the Hall of Fame. There's a guy right now, an 18-year-old playing junior B hockey in Listowel or Chatham or, you know, Airdrie, Alberta, that we've never even heard of, who's going to be a 40-goal scorer in the NHL. I think that you know, if you have good scouts and you have a good scouting system, you're going to find players.
So what you're saying is we change the draft age to 20, so it's not much of a crapshoot.
No.
I think that's what Ken just said. Anyways! no, I don't disagree, but what the reason that he gets painted as a poor draft, or not as good a draft, is because it doesn't have as much high-end.
Right, because we've been spoiled.
Yeah, absolutely. But regardless, your odds of getting a high-impact player low in the first round, deep or not, is not good.
Not good.
But for it, you got at least a shot. And that's why I also love this deal for Arizona. I think this is a real win-win. You get two more players who you put in your system, and you can eventually hopefully develop into, because that's
so you develop those players because you're in Arizona, so you sell away the players that you developed, and because Martin Hanzel was an Arizona Coyote right from the get-go, mm-hmm. just like Michael Bodker was, just like all these other guys were that they traded away. So yeah, you get some of these young guys, you develop them quite nicely, they become players, and then they get to move on. And then you start the cycle all over again, and these bums stay bums.
Sounds like the Montreal Expos, you know? I feel like
it
that's
really
what they
is.
Used to do.
It really is. But it's starting to get old, eh, guys? Like Keith Yandel, you know, and what bugs me and what I wrote about today on THN.com, our website, if you want to check it out, is, like, give me a break. Okay, we missed a year of hockey in 2004, 2005. Missed a whole year. Why did we miss a whole year? Because the NHL needed to impose a salary cap. Why did they need to impose a salary cap? Because apparently a salary cap was supposed to help the Arizona Coyotes keep guys like Michael Stone and Martin Hanzel and Michael Bodker and all these other guys that they drafted and developed and had play for them for their entire careers. They were supposed to be able to keep those guys.
That's right.
And they can't keep them now.
Because the cap is too
high. So what's a salary cap doing?
The cap's still too
high.
What's a
salary cap doing?
$20 million.
Right. So what's a salary cap doing for those teams? Jack shit. It's doing nothing. It's doing nothing. It's helping rich teams make more money, and they just get around it anyways, because now we've got Phoenix with Chris Pronger and Dave Boland and Pavel Datsyuk on their payroll.
I'm with you, Kim. I mean, I like Arizona's system right now. John Chick has done a good job. They've got arguably, you know, top three development system in the league. But I agree that to help a team like that that's that poor in real dollars, you would need to have a fantasy salary cap of like $15 million for every team. Hey, then it would help Arizona a lot, right? But in this system, no way. It doesn't help.
Yeah, I'll avoid the arguments about fairness. And I mean, no matter what the system is, you're always going to have and have not teams. I'm sorry you play in a small market. But if you're in a small market, you have to do the things that you can do as a team in order to try to be successful. And that's exactly what Arizona's doing. That's exactly what Chayka's doing. And I think they've done a good job here. That's what they weren't going to re-sign Hanzel. And Hanzel is not a part of the solution in the future. So what you do is
2 years ago, we were all raving about how they got Anthony Duclair. Oh my God, the Coyotes are brilliant. They got Anthony Duclair for Keith Yandel, and what a great trade. And they're going to be fantastic. Brilliant. And holy shit, these guys are going to be world beaters. And oh my God, and all Anthony Duclair is doing now is learning how to lose, and they're probably going to trade him too.
Yeah, it's
beauty.
It's,
good work, guys.
It's a good,
good
it's a bad
work.
Cycle. Happened to Edmonton too. I know what you're saying.
So they would have been much better off to have kept Keith Yandel. And then lost him for nothing as a free agent.
I'm making a statement about the system.
I get it, okay? But I'm saying I'm not, and I get it, and I don't disagree. I'm just saying they've got to do with what they can within the system, and I think they're doing a pretty good job. Because what you hope is that all these kids come together at once and give you a shot of winning the Stanley Cup.
Right.
Because you can't
but they're not going to, because by the time they're in a position to do that, they're going to be 26 years old, and they're going to be going, oh, I'm an unrestricted free agent a year.
I'm
so
out of here. I'm done losing.
Yeah, I'm going to the Rangers.
By the time
yeah.
you're 26,
catch you later.
By the time you're 26, you're washed up.
You're picking up some draft pick or some kid.
But, well, I mean, if you're Arizona, you're basically looking to look at the Toronto model, and you kind of hope that you can get in a position where you're Toronto and you've got 8 young guys, and then you've got 2 years where you can win.
Okay, I'm with you. Okay? I'm with you on that. But if you're Arizona, then you're smart enough when you go into Buffalo 2 years ago and you have the chance to lose that game and put yourself in a position to get Connor McDavid, you do it.
Right. Leafs played Byron Freeze on their power play last year.
If you're going to tank, then tank. Then do it right and tank. That's the difference between this organization having a chance to survive and not having a chance to survive.
That's a fair point. Yeah.
Tanker's got a tank.
Cups is cups. Tank is tank.
All right, let's go on to some reader questions. We got 2 questions about the Flyers. You can guess. I'll read them both to you. You can guess which one we're going to answer. First one is, will Flyers pursue any offensemen? That's the actual question.
Really?
I don't know. I mean, I think they have a couple good offensemen already. I mean, Shane Gostisbehere is the quintessential offenseman.
That's right.
So we're going to put that one aside. Thank you
to
Ed Austin
McAleer
one. But the real question we're going to go for is from Jim Salamone. Which goalie are the Flyers trying to move, if any? And I don't know. I don't see
they're both UFAs.
Right? I don't think it's a matter of the Flyers moving a goalie. I think it's a matter because who's going to want Steve Mason or Michael Neuberth?
Yeah.
It's a matter of the Flyers getting a goalie. At the same time, they're 6 points out of a playoff spot right now.
Yeah.
Ron Hextall's been very conservative in his tenure so far as GM.
Yeah,
I don't see anything happening. Maybe you try and rent a cheap goalie like a Ryan Miller. But that's
No. I think
tough crowd.
No, I think they're gonna start derricking guys, and I mean the goalies are one thing, but I think it's, you know, you're looking at Streit, Delzato, Nick Schultz, all these guys who are going to be UFAs on July 1st, because like Philadelphia, I mean, it was nice, you know, they won 10 games in a row and it was real nice, but they're not going to make the playoffs, and Hextall's already basically come out and pretty much said that they're not buying at this deadline, so I would expect that they'll see what they can get for those guys and move along. But the goalie market, I mean, okay, maybe they'll trade one of them, maybe they won't, but they won't get much in return, as we've seen. You know, the goalie market's not a really great one. So
it's especially not a great market for subpar goaltenders.
Mm-hmm.
And Neuberth, right. I actually think Neuberth can be a pretty good guy. I think Mason is just too inconsistent to be a regular number one.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I don't think there's much of a market out there. And I think Philadelphia at this point, I'm not counting them out for the playoffs. I still think they've got a shot, but I don't think you buy. You're not a team.
Oh, not a team.
You're not a buy team.
Not even, like that's not even part of the conversation as far as I'm concerned. I'm like, you sell, and who do you sell? And so then what happens? Like, so do you make a trade with the Pittsburgh Penguins? I mean, Pittsburgh is hurting on defense, right? Olimata's hurt. Chris Letang's hurt. Somebody else is hurt. Daly's hurt.
Yeah.
And Schultz has been in and out of the lineup. He's had problems. So, you know, do the Flyers and the Penguins make a trade?
But the thing is, you got to ship salary if you're going to get a defenseman. And, I mean, they got Hainsey. That pretty much caps you out.
Yeah.
The Penguins are really jammed against the cap.
I mean, to me, so to answer the question, I think if anybody wanted one of these goalies, absolutely we'll take it for a conditional 7th-round pick. Because,
why not? Knock yourself out.
And I don't see a situation where anybody in the league needs one of these guys in their lineup. So no, I don't expect either of them to move.
Speaking of the Penguins in defense, and we had a question from Irad Chen. Can a flurry for Jacob Trouba trade work? What do you guys think about that idea?
Well, I mean, it's a very intriguing idea. Yeah. I wouldn't do it if I were Winnipeg.
That's what I was thinking.
I think that's too much. Yeah. I think that Jacob Trouba is going to find his home there, and this whole thing is going to turn out to be another kind of Jonathan Drouin thing where, you know, the kid makes a trade request and then it ends up all working out. And I think Trouba's, you know, I mean, where do you get guys like Trouba? Where do you get him?
Yeah.
You draft him and you develop him.
Yeah.
You draft him and you develop him, and I just, you know, for Fleury, yeah, he's won a cup. Wouldn't you be worried?
Well,
wouldn't you be worried if you had Fleury as your number one guy still? Like,
yeah.
Aren't you a little worried about the inconsistency factor?
Yeah.
Aren't you? You know?
Yeah, and I'm. My question is, if you're Winnipeg, do you feel like Hellebuck is the long-term answer?
I think you probably do. I mean, some people are tough on Hellebuck, but I mean, he's barely had one full season as a starter. And if you look at the analytics, the even strength save percentage, he's better than the overall numbers indicate. His pedigree's outstanding. I still think he's going to be a stud number one goalie. And to me, the non-starter with Fleury is expansion draft. If you acquire Marc-Andre Fleury, you can only protect one goaltender.
Right.
So to me, that's it. Unless Hellebuck's going the other way.
Unless
Pittsburgh doesn't need goaltending.
Unless you make a deal with Vegas beforehand to, you know, protect
him. Yeah, sure.
Which is what I think is going to happen here.
Yeah,
I don't think Fleury's going anywhere. I think he's staying in Pittsburgh through the rest of the season. I think Pittsburgh thinks, and quite rightly, I think they think that they can win a cup. You know, they can be the first team since Detroit to be back-to-back Stanley Cup winners. Whether they will or won't is purely conjecture, but I think they think they can, and it's conceivable to think that they could do that.
And you know why?
So you keep them, and then what they'll do is Rutherford will make a deal with George McPhee after the year to, you know, to gerrymander the expansion draft.
And you know why you keep Fleury? Because you play to
win the game.
Yeah.
You know, I think you're starting to win me over there, Kenny boy, because all year I've been thinking, Penguins, you've got to trade Fleury. He's got a no-movement clause. It means you're going to lose Matt Murray if you don't have Fleury, or if Fleury's not gone in time, right? But at the same time, right now, there's zero leverage for the Penguins in trade talks. If Rutherford calls a team saying, hey, you want Fleury? The other team says, you're screwed.
Yeah,
exactly. So the market is probably really poor.
Is there a window where you can trade him after the season?
If you win the cup, it's going to be small. Right, it's going to be like a week.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like the minute he's lifted the cup,
well, you can trade.
Here's the door.
Yeah. Enjoy it. Take one big.
Yeah, they could trade. I'm sure they could.
Okay,
so
why not? If Bishop's any kind of a indicator of the goalie market, you're going to get a outside of the top 10 prospect and a sixth round pick for Fleury. So
right.
Why not keep him as insurance?
Yeah.
And then trade him for a seventh or whatever. Even if you have to give up a little bit, if you have to give up Fleury and a fifth for a seventh,
what you might have to do is take some salary or something.
Sure,
take some space,
well,
take some cap space.
But yeah, no, you know what? To answer the question again, so absolutely, I went from okay, that's actually not bad to absolutely
like,
no way. This is the dumbest trade rules I've ever heard. Yeah, but it's a good thought in theory. Yeah, I don't mind it. Yeah.
We got a question from Jeff. I'm going to say Kotubi. I'm going to go with Kotubi as the pronunciation here.
It's Kotubi.
He's
a Kotubi.
I think it's pronounced Smith.
Yeah, Jeff Smith. He wants to know, can the Ducks make any sort of move that would make them a legit contender, or am I stuck in purgatory this year? It's interesting because, you know, it sounds like Jeff understands what's happened with this Patrick Eves trade. To me, it was a very meh trade. The Ducks have enough of those middle six type of forwards.
Yeah.
They seem to do this every year, and Eves is already starting to cool down. He's already hit a career high in goals. To me, the Ducks are behind the major contenders unless they can find a way to get in on, let's say, a Gabriel Landeskog.
Or a Matt Duchene.
I agree with Jeff that the Ducks are going to be stuck in purgatory. A pretty good team, but behind the top-end contenders.
Yeah, because they're behind San Jose. They're behind Chicago. They're behind Minnesota. They're kind of in that B group of teams.
Yeah, with Edmonton.
Yeah, at best, the B group of teams.
Yeah.
Like, they're a team that's really hard to figure out. Like, they really perplex me a lot. You know, they'll beat Minnesota 1-0 and then lose 2-0 to you know, to Carolina or something. I just don't... To me, I'm not sure why they'd blow their brains out to make a deal, because they're not a serious contender.
Right.
You know, they're not a serious Stanley Cup contender. Yeah, so
you don't mortgage the future in the position they're in right now. And I think in order to get any guy who would make a significant enough impact to make it worthwhile isn't worth the spend. It's not worth the risk. I don't dislike this team by any means. I think they've got all the components there. It's just a matter of having it come together all at once. I mean, they've got an excellent young blue line. Maybe it just needs a little more seasoning. The problem is that your young blue line doesn't match up with your old forwards.
Right, and their goaltending's been outstanding this year.
Yeah,
John Gibson's. You know, I think he's proved that he's.
And that's the reason why I would say you basically just stand pat, because if things come together for you, they're not that far off. Like, I would put them in the B-plus position. Mm-hmm. You know, they're in the B group, but I'm not lumping them together with Edmonton. I mean, you put Edmonton and Anaheim in a playoff series, I'm taking Anaheim for as much money as I can lay on.
Okay.
But I just don't think it's worth the spend in the position that they're in right now.
I think the one exception is just because the Ducks are so loaded at defense. There's a risk of, I'd have to take a look, but I think there is a risk of losing like a Josh Manson or someone of that caliber in the expansion draft. Mm. So if you can get a hockey trade for a Sammy Vatanen for, let's say Sammy Vatanen for a Gabriel Landeskog, I think that's the trade you got to go
okay.
for.
Well,
if you're Bomber.
Sure. Yeah, I mean,
to me, that's the exception.
I mean, the return for Sammy Vatanen's got to be huge.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be huge.
Having a bad year, though. Bad year for Vatanen.
Yeah.
I'd almost be tempted to be asking for more than just Landeskog if I'm Bob Murray. But I get what you're saying there. Yeah, it's just if you can make a hockey deal. But again, GMs aren't stupid. They understand what your position you're in. And so you're not really dealing from a position of strength if you're... If you're an opposing GM, or if you're
if we know it, then they know it.
Absolutely,
right.
Yeah, because we're not
as smart as them. All right, it's time for the speed round here. Okay, I'm gonna name some of the biggest names left on the board.
What about other questions? Okay, go ahead.
Because we're running out of time here. We're running a little long.
We have infinite time, don't we?
Okay, so I'm gonna fire out a name and tell me the best fit and why. Okay, Kevin Shattenkirk, go.
St. Louis Blues.
Why?
Because. Why not?
They can't afford to keep him.
No, they can't afford to keep him, but why would they not look at him as their trade deadline rental?
Okay. Because they're not going to make the playoffs.
But if everybody else looks at him as a trade deadline rental, why not look at Kevin Shattenkirk as one? You've already signed Patrick Berglund. If you were going to lose Kevin Shattenkirk and Patrick Berglund for nothing after the season, okay, that's one thing. But you've signed Berglund. He's back. And you use Shattenkirk this year and get the most out of him and see what you can get and see how far you can go in the playoffs. You might get hot, you might make a run, and you might win a few rounds.
The New York Rangers, because he's going to end up there this summer anyway. So, I mean, why not just get a jump on it, get the deal done, and, you know, you probably, again, the market I think is pretty soft, so you're probably not going to have to give up that much. All you're going to have to do is find the cap space to fit him in. And I think if you're the Rangers... You're running out of time with Henrik Lundqvist. You got to make a run.
Somebody said something about Chris Kreider, and I was like, you got to be kidding.
Yeah, no.
Like, seriously?
There's no way that amount's coming back. Yeah, but, yeah. I mean, they've probably already traded their first-round pick. I mean, they do every year.
Yeah,
so.
They're not big on the whole picking thing.
But, you know, if you can get them for a middling prospect and a second-round pick, which I think is probably about what the market is, I think, if the Rangers are a good fit.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I'd say Rangers as well. He could help their power play. They rank, I think, 17th in power play. And like you said, Lundqvist, it's a win-now window. They got to go for it. Matt Duchene, go.
I don't know where he is going to end up, but I know where he should end up. And you guys are going to laugh your asses off when I say the Arizona Coyotes for Jacob Chychrun.
Wow.
Interesting.
Wow.
Well, the Coyotes have basically blown up their center ice position.
Sure.
You know? Their centers right now are Burmistrov, Dvorak, and Martinuk. Okay? And no matter who's coming, whether it's Strome or whoever is coming. Clayton Keller. It's not going to be... It's going to be shit next year unless they go out and get a number one centerman. So who says that this guy has to go to a team that's going for the cup? Make a hockey trade.
Yeah, he's not a rental.
Make a hockey trade.
He doesn't have
trade. He's got 2 years left at six. I mean, If I'm the Arizona Coyotes, it's like, if I'm a fan of the Arizona Coyotes, I'm like, stop it. Stop screwing me around here. Stop it. Do something. Make a trade. Make us better.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's not a laughable suggestion whatsoever, but I'll say Montreal. I think they're in a very similar position to New York. Not quite as much of a win now, and that's why Duchesne makes sense, is because he's going to stick around for a few more years, and they need some big scoring pop. So I think Duchesne, you know, fit in Montreal, because, you know, I don't think they're that far off, and I think Duchesne would go a long ways to making them a true, true upper echelon contender in the East.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, I've said it before on the podcast, Nashville Predators, we know David Poile's a total cowboy. He loves making moves. He'll throw around first-round picks. He'll do whatever it takes at the deadline. He treats everyone like it's his last. And they really do need a second really good scoring center. So Matt Duchesne to Nashville, that'd be my pick. Gabriel Landeskog, go.
What did I say here? Gabriel Landeskog. I thought Montreal for Gabriel Landeskog. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, for a lot of the same reasons you said. Not, I mean, there is secondary scoring there. Obviously, though, what's he got, 16? Has he got 16 goals? Has he even got that many?
Something like that.
Yeah, anyways, it's very clear that he's never going to be a big-time scorer. But he does give them, you know, I mean, his 16 goals right now would put him second on Montreal.
Wow.
I mean, Max Pacioretty has 29 goals, and I think the next, like, guy has, Radulov 14, and Weber has 14, like more than twice as many goals. So, I mean, you know, gives you some help that way. Probably doesn't cost you as much as Duchesne, and he's a guy that can help out.
Yeah, I would have said the same thing for the reasons about Duchesne, but I'm going to throw San Jose out there as well. Just a team that I think should be looking to acquire. I think that's a team that, again, the window is closing quickly, and if you're looking to win now, I mean, Landeskog, what a great addition he would be in the playoffs. So, quick aside, I want to ask right now, quick, who won the Subban Weber trade?
Nashville.
Yeah, still Nashville.
Yep. Absolutely.
Subban's starting to still.
A lot of those guys. A lot of those guys.
Weber has been really, really good.
Yeah.
And exactly what Montreal.
Yeah, early in the season,
he's sitting in the stands in Montreal last Thursday. Yeah.
No,
he and Alexi Amelin were terrible.
Okay,
they were
one
terrible.
Game a season.
He's not been good lately. He started out really well, and the downslide has already started.
Yep.
And I think that all those people that were like, "Oh, Shea Weber's the better player," blah blah blah. You don't hear so much from those guys anymore.
No,
you don't hear
yeah.
any much.
Okay,
from
I'm just saying right now, no. It's not as clear cut as everybody thought it was right now. Right this second, I'm sure in a couple
I
years from now.
See,
but
I think
I'm
PK's
yeah.
picked it up.
I think he's overtaken. I think that was a better argument in like November, December. But PK's almost caught Weber in points, and PK's played like 10, 15 games fewer. Right, he was hurt.
And PK,
points,
PK
games,
is
well,
a very
deep. Defense man's not all
analytics.
Yeah, and,
way better. Way better.
And a defense man needs to be good on the penalty kill, and PK Subban is outstanding
right.
on the penalty kill.
I was more asking a question.
All right.
Stick.
I'm gonna say LA for Gabriel Landeskog, by the way.
Week. Glad he's not on here.
This
every
is
week.
Good. It's good. It's adorable. Gabriel Landeskog, LA Kings. If the Kings are going, if they're doubling down on their own style, get another big heavy. They need a bit of scoring, but he'll play their game. He's heavy on the forecheck. He can hit a lot, so he'd be my pick for LA. LA, we've seen in the past they're willing to mortgage a first round pick, a big time prospect, or by their standards,
yeah, what
their
prospect
best prospects.
Do they have left?
Yeah, there's precedent for it though. Again, right? They're willing to do it if they can make it work cap wise. I'll say Landeskog to LA
for Paul Ledoux.
Heyo!
Oh, that's the greatest name ever, eh? That's a great hockey
that's
name.
That's a good name.
Ledoux! Get out there, Ledoux! You're up, Ledoux! We need you out there, Ledoux! Ledoux!
Press one.
We need something right now! Who do I turn to? Ledoux!
Press one if you'd like to have Ken Campbell removed from the podcast. Press two if you'd like to have Edward Fraser removed from the podcast.
We got time for one last one. Patrick Sharp.
Ottawa,
why?
Because he has the pedigree, and because he won't cost them much. And Ottawa's a team that they need some help, but let's face it, they ain't winning nothing this year. Come on!
Yeah.
Come on, get in the game! So, like, I'm going to lose my shit if they trade Thomas Chabot or Colin White for anybody.
No, they're not.
They're not going to. And because you don't find those guys You draft them, you develop them, then they become really good players. So, anywho, I think they, you know, tweak here or there for Ottawa would be nice. It might give them, you know, I'd like to have Patrick Sharp in the third period of a close game. Absolutely. Or going into overtime with his experience. So, I would say him.
And that's why he's going back to the Chicago Blackhawks. They'll find a way to get him in there. And right. I think he's a good fit. They know what they're getting.
I'm going to say San Jose for the same reason Ed was saying it for Landeskog, San Jose for Patrick Sharp. They're close. They know the window's closing, and that veteran guy maybe can play on their third line. I like it.
That's a good call.
What did you just say?
San Jose.
San Jose for Patrick Sharp.
Oh, okay.
Okay. We're going to end it off with, was he a Ranger? Of course.
We need jingle music for was
he. Oh, no, we already have.
Settled
on it. Do you remember what the song is now?
Might as well face it. You're addicted to Was He a Ranger? Or it was My Sharona, wasn't it?
I forget.
Was He a Ranger? There was that. There's a whole, there's a whole whack of them.
I think this is the reason I should probably be on the podcast to prevent
Larry Gowan. You've got the eyes. Oh, no. Is that Larry Gowan or was that
Pedro? Why are you looking at me?
You've got the eyes of a Ranger.
Oh, okay. Can we go now?
Yeah. All right. Who's got the first Ranger?
I got it.
Okay.
Craig Muni.
Former Edmonton Oiler, I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say that was the trap you set, and I'm not biting. Not a Ranger.
Matt Larkin is correct.
Whoa!
Not a Ranger.
Nice!
But I like that one.
Nice!
Yeah, that was good. Any old Oiler,
okay.
There's a 60% chance he's a Ranger.
Okay, I'm going to say mine is Derek Morris.
Yes, Ranger.
I'm going to say, I'm going to say he's part of the era of just
everybody played.
Every veteran coming through there. I doubt it was many games, but I'm going to say, yeah, Ranger.
And you're both right. Yeah. And it wasn't many games. And it was, oh, crazy. It was the Phoenix Coyotes who traded him at the deadline. And they traded him for Peter Peruka and a whole bunch of other guys, Nigel Dawes, Dmitry Kalinin and stuff. But they were, see, this was like 2009. That
but
was
they
like
didn't
eight
develop
years
him.
Ago. Oh, they were doing it then, and they're doing it now. And oh, Jesus, is it ever great to be a Phoenix
player? I hope the Coyotes are listening to this. That'd be great.
Rag on the Arizona Hour with Ken.
Yeah,
Campbell.
Exactly.
Okay. I like what you're doing.
Last one, Roman Hamrlich.
Ooh.
I'm gonna say that he was there like at the end of his career.
I'm gonna say no. Not a Ranger.
I say he was right. For some reason, I think he was there like late in his, like really late, like playing out the string.
Roman Hamrlich was a Ranger.
Oh, nice!
13 games at the end of his career.
Oh,
nailed it.
Good call.
Nailed it.
The two went one for two, and then Ken's we got easily because Ken is bad.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not bad at this.
We got the book on Ken. We got the
and
book
I don't
on
have dumb questions like, "Will he ever turn better than TK2 man?"
All right, we're gonna put the muzzle back on Ken, put him in his cage for another week. Thank you guys for listening, and please listen fast before this becomes dated because the trade deadline's 2 days away. Please listen now. Thank you.